Okay, folks, well, if you've got your Bibles there, let's open them up, or on your phone or whatever. And we're in Matthew's Gospel, and we're continuing to look at the Beatitudes. It's incredible how quickly the time is passing and we're getting through them. This is, I think, number 6. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we just sang words of Psalm 24. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Proverbs 22 verse 11, one who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. But on the other hand, Hebrews 12, 14, without holiness, no one will see God. So this is about what we need if we are going to be able to see God. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we're thinking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And I asked you at the beginning of the sermon to become conscious of yourself and your hunger, perhaps, and any spiritual hunger. Today I want you to become conscious of yourself at the beginning of this message. And I want you to think in a self-aware sense about where you are this morning. You might say, well, I'm in the church, yeah, or I'm in this body, yeah. But I want you to think about your awareness. Like, where is the very center of your awareness? If you're anything like me, it's in here. And you are, even without vision or hearing or anything, you are placed in here. This is the head. This is the mind. This is where you are. But then if I ask you, what about your emotions and your desires? Where do you sense them? Where do you feel them? If you think about it for a while, you probably will go here. Your heart. Think about this. Maybe it's not something you think about normally, but you're still a reality about who you are. That there is the awareness of self and where the thoughts are, but there's also the awareness of the emotions and the feelings and where your desires are, and this is the heart. And if you just now become conscious of your heart, I'm not talking about the beating organ, but I'm talking about the emotions and feelings you have there, and what do you feel? Perhaps you feel pain. Perhaps you feel a weight, a burden, an ache. Perhaps, if you think about it, there are things there that you just live with all the time, and you can't really seem to make any difference to. And this is your heart. Most people's hearts are hurting. Most people's hearts are weighted down. Most people's hearts are burdened and have disappointment and pains and cares that they carry. Now, thinking about your heart again, do you see purity there? Do you have a sense of absolute cleanness? Do you feel there a love for God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and a love for your neighbor as for yourself? Pure. Probably not. Probably not. How pure must a heart be before we will see God according to this beatitude? Let me use a little illustration, one that's very relevant to me. I have celiac disease and I have to avoid gluten out of my diet completely. And so I'm always looking at ingredients and I'm always looking at packets to see, are they gluten-free? And for something to be able to put on its label gluten-free, there's a law. And the law says that that thing has to have less than 20 parts in a million of gluten. 20 little parts in a million of gluten. Now think about that. That's a lot. That's a very, very, very small amount indeed. And for it to be gluten-free, it's got to be less than that. A tiny amount. And then it's safe for people who have celiac disease to eat. Their immune system won't go into action and make them unwell. So, that's the kind of level of purity I need when I'm eating food. What's the level of purity God needs? And I really mean need. Because of God, you know, God is a particular kind of person. He is holy. And if he's going to have someone in his presence dwelling with him, what kind of purity does he need in that person? Will 20 parts per million do of sin? If it's as low as 20 parts per million, only 20 thoughts in a million thoughts are sinful, is that good enough? And the answer is, of course, with God, it's got to be 0 parts per million. It's got to be 0 parts over a lifetime. That's the kind of purity that God seeks. And you might say, well, forget it then. But we'll see, we don't need to forget it because of salvation in Christ. However, we are familiar with places like this. I wonder if any of you has authorization to go into a place like this. And maybe it's a place where you need special clothing, special security clearance, a special disinfection or whatever in order to go into this place. And only a very few people can go in there who have the special conditions that they've met to be able to do it. And this is God's presence. God's presence is a presence where we need authorization to enter it. And it's dangerous because the Bible tells us that our God is a consuming fire. His holiness is a beautiful thing, but it is dangerous for sinners. It is very dangerous, and there are plenty of stories in the Old and New Testament that bear that out very graphically. God's presence is a presence where we need authorization. And that authorization is purity of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. They have the authorization. We can go into God's presence. But how on earth can we get that purity of heart if it is only 100% purity that is good enough for us to be able to enter the presence of God? You might say, you might think to yourself, perhaps, well, is God being too particular? Is God being too exclusive? But it's not about God's choice here. It's about God's nature. It is the very nature of the living God that he is clean and pure and perfect and holy. And so anything that would threaten that, that would contaminate that, if it were possible, has to be excluded from his presence. So we need to perhaps begin with an examination today of our own hearts. How pure is your heart? How clean is your heart, even right now? This is a very searching question. Let me show you another picture here. I've never been here, but this is Times Square. Some of you may have been there. This is a picture of the nightlife in Times Square. Now, if you take me and you parachute me into that scene there, I'll soon find out about how pure my heart is, if I'm discerning. It won't take long before I'm lusting, or I'm coveting, or I'm passing judgment. I don't know. What do you think when you look at that? There's plenty in there to take me away from God. And I probably don't need to go there, because this is as much an enemy for all of us when it comes to purity of heart. All we need to do is a bit of scrolling, a little bit of Facebook on what's happening in the community, and the impurity of our hearts will be exposed. If you know what I'm talking about, if you have the discernment, if you're able to see it, then you will soon realize that it takes very little for your heart to be defiled, to become impure. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." But as we read in Matthew 15, Jesus also said, "Out of the heart, your heart and my heart, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean." And, you know, even if you might say, "Well, I haven't murdered anyone," you know, that the usual sort of defense that people make, it's the evil thought bit that's the hardest. Because it's the pride, it's the conceit, it's the lust, it's the greed, it's the selfishness, it's the arrogance, and so on, that are in our hearts, that contaminate our hearts so that we are not fit for God's presence. So, how can we see God? What hope do you have, or do I have, of actually knowing God as a Father, seeing Him as our Father, and living in our Father's house? What hope do we have? Jesus, it's not Jesus, just in John's Gospel, chapter 1, John writes this. He says, "No one has seen God at any time." This is John 1, verse 18. Even Moses, that great man of God, when he was with God on Mount Sinai, he said to him, "Show me your glory." And God said to him, "No one can see me and live." The impure heart. Because of the impure heart, no one can see me. No one has a pure enough heart to see me and live. And you can think about, through the Bible, you might say, "Well, certain people saw God, didn't they? Didn't Isaiah see God in the temple, high and lifted up? Didn't Ezekiel see a vision of God in the desert, and so on?" Well, no. Didn't Adam and Eve see God in the garden? Well, you might say, "Well, they had a pure heart." But even that is just God fitting Himself down to our size, or giving a vision, a representation of Him. It's not the real thing. Jesus Himself is able to say, you know, that if we have seen Him, we have seen God, we've seen the Father. But of course, He doesn't mean we've seen the glory of God. He doesn't mean we've seen all that God has to show us of Himself. That's what we mean. None of us can see all that God has to show of Himself, because all that God has to show is something so overwhelmingly brilliant and majestic and terrifying for the impure heart that we couldn't live in His presence for a moment. So in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. There's a word that isn't in the Beatitude that is really implied, and that's the word only. Blessed are the pure in heart, only they will see God. There isn't a single person in this world who has seen God as he is. They may have seen visions, they may have had dreams, they may have seen God come as the angel of the Lord or whatever at times, but they haven't seen God as he is, because the issue of the impurity of our hearts prevents it. What the angels see in heaven, no one on earth has seen. Only one person has ascended from earth to heaven with a pure heart, and that was Jesus himself. So if you or I are going to see God, we need a transformation. Is it possible for someone who has had an impure heart to have a pure heart? Is it possible for someone who has become dirty to become clean? And this is the great thing that we have to tell the world as a Christian church. This is the great thing that took the world by storm from the days of the apostles onwards. So long as the church has been telling the world what the gospel is, the world has been responding, and the church has been growing. As soon as the church loses its way and starts telling people that what they need to do is rituals, it's up to them, they've got to come to church and they've got to give so much money and they've got to go through certain rituals, they've got to wash their hands in terms of what Jesus said, there's no gospel in that. Because no human being can cleanse his or her heart. But God can. And this is the gospel that we have to share with people. Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And so he's telling us there is hope for us, that we can have a pure heart. We can be righteous. We can be perfect. And for that, it's something we need God to give to us. So, there are three things that we need to receive from God. I've got up here anyway. And the first thing is, we need a record to be purified. A record. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. God is able, through Jesus and the sacrifice he made for our sins, to cleanse our record, to make us people who are in his sight like we've never done wrong. Now that's got to be a wonderful thing. It's got to be amazing to know that our burdens can be lifted, that our guilt can be taken away, and that our record can be cleansed. And we have to have confidence in this. The second thing is, if we're going to see God, we need a clean spirit. Blessed, this is the Beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And how can we get a pure spirit? And this is the work of God in us, in our innermost being. That part of us that we don't really understand, because we can't see it, that we call our spirit. We need that cleansed. When you go in the Bible looking for this, you will see in Hebrews, for example, chapter 12, a picture of the church on earth and in heaven. And those who are in heaven just now, well, their bodies aren't in heaven, because they've been left on earth. But they are in heaven, and they are described in Hebrews 12 as the spirits of just people made perfect. So God is able to cleanse our spirits, our hearts, for we cannot. I don't know how he does that. except that he does it by his power, by his spirit. But there's more. This body has desires that are contrary to God. The flesh, constantly wanting things that distract me from God. It's a natural body. But coming as part of the salvation in Jesus is not only our record being cleansed and our spirit being cleansed, but our bodies being made spiritual. Resurrection, the resurrection to come. And so what our hope is in the gospel is of us being completely transformed. In terms of who we are and in terms of what our past is. This is what John says about it in 1 John 3. We are the children of God. What we will be has not yet been made known. And I don't even begin to glimpse what I'm talking about here. But when Christ appears, we shall be like him. He has a pure heart. He has a spiritual body. He has a perfect record. We will be like him because we will see him as he is. What does that mean? Well, it means Jesus comes in the glory of God. We will see God. The only way to see God is to have a pure heart. So we'll have to have a pure heart if we're going to see him as he is. This is really what, this is like the Beatitude put in a different way. And so right now in this world, I want to be a person, and you too, who have this hope of a pure heart and of seeing God, purifying myself. I want to be careful about the way I live and what I let my heart dwell on and what I let come out of my heart and what I put into my heart as well. So, I want to delight in purity. I want to delight in being clean. I want to delight in what is clean, and it is difficult in this world to keep clean because the world is so contaminated, is so dirty. The world is full of that which is impure, and it's so difficult, not just on the screens that we look at, but even in our community, to keep that purity. Or to seek that purity. It's not like we can keep it because we don't have it yet. We're looking for it. We're longing for it. But as I and as you seek purity in your life, well, you're not yet in the position where you're going to see God as he is, but you can still expect close encounters with him. And I say that because although God has this no unauthorized access sign, if you like, up in his presence, he wants you. It's not out of some kind of arbitrary reason that he set up that unauthorized sign, no unauthorized access. It's because he loves you. If you're not ready to come into his presence, you cannot be in his presence because of his glory and his purity, which will consume you. He doesn't want that. But he does want you in his presence. God desires you in his presence. They will see God, says the Beatitude. In other words, because God wants you to see him. What do you think the gospel is? Other than God saying, I am going to go to extraordinary lengths to bring you into my presence because I want you in my presence. I really want you in my presence. Jesus expressed it in John 17, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. We have come into the presence today of a God who wants us to see him in his glory, and who's done everything possible to make that happen for you and for me, to clear our record, to clean our spirits, and to give us heavenly spiritual resurrection bodies. So, while we know that in this life we are not going to have completely pure hearts, we pursue them, nevertheless, hearts of purity. So where's this? Anyone recognize this one? Yeah. Yeah. And the mountain? Sorry? It's Ben Galloway. Yes, Ben Galloway. From Loch Scalby. I was actually thinking this week, oh, I need a picture of Ben Galloway. I'll get one in Kyle someday. And there was never a day I was in Kyle. I could see Ben Galloway this week. So I had to go into the archives a wee bit. Ben Galloway. How many people have been on top of Ben Galloway here? Yeah. Quite a few. Anyone over here in the middle? No one in the middle? No? Willie? No? Or tell you what, you get a great view of Kyle from the top of Ben Galloway. It's been a long time since up there. But you get a great view, a very good view from the top. And I could tell you about that view. And I could go into great detail. And you could say, oh, I'd really like to see that view. But unless you go up to the top of the mountain, you won't see it. That's what I'm doing in this sermon just now. I'm saying, look, you can see God. That's the view that you can have. But unless you pursue purity, you won't see God. As long as you're happy with impurity, you won't see God. As long as you're content to dwell, as this world dwells, in alienation from God, in isolation from Him because of its sin, you won't see God. You will never, ever see God except on the Day of Judgment. But we want the view. It's not enough for us to say to someone else here, tell me about that view. You know, if you want the view, get up there. You might think, oh, I don't know if my joints will let me get up there any longer. Well, you know, have a word with the helicopter pilot at the base or something so you can get them to drop you on the top for a while. Or whatever. But you know what I'm saying. It's beautiful up there. And the view is staggering. It's beautiful. But you'll never see it just by having other people tell you about it. You've got to seek purity yourself if you're going to see God. You've got to make this something. You can't purify your heart, but you can seek God and you can seek His salvation in Jesus. And His work in your life. And when He comes into your life by His Spirit, you begin to taste what that purity really means and what it really is like. And you begin to have experience of the God who really wants you to be close to Him, who's longing for you to see Him, and who wants you in His presence as one of His family. But it's got to be your decision. You've got to want it. You've got to seek purity of heart from Him. Now, this could be something that happens today. I know this. If I die today, then the work of salvation in me will be furthered because God will finish His work in my spirit, and I will go and join those spirits of the just made perfect in His presence, and I will see Him. It's very close. It's wonderful. It's exciting. That's what's at stake. It's knowing what Jesus has done for us and knowing what He will do for us according to His promise. And it's just that thrilling anticipation, just as you might be, as you come up from the back of Benicali and you come up the top and finally take in the view. This is what we have by faith at the moment, as we continue to ascend the hill of God and come into His presence more and more. We know that we haven't seen hardly anything yet, and it's thrilling and it's exciting. Imagine being able to see God with a pure heart. Imagine that there be nothing in me, nothing in you, that God will find incompatible with His presence and His holiness and glory. Imagine that you're at home in His presence, along with the holy angels. Imagine. And this is what our salvation is taking us towards. So, don't be content to hear about the summit of the mountain. Seek God yourself, that you may be pure in heart, and that you will see Him. Amen. Let's pray for a moment together. Lord, we come before you. These things are much bigger than my mere words, and much bigger than any of us can imagine or understand. Heavenly Father, we know that we can't even describe to one another the view from the top. So, Father, how can we describe a thing we haven't seen? And that is you. Father, please draw us towards yourself. Help us to seek purity, and help us to seek it from you as a gift, as something that is free through Jesus. And help us, Lord, to grow like Him, so that, Lord, we will see you and we will live in your presence forever. Amen.